Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. We understand business. Choose the bank that's here to help you rise to today's business challenges and tomorrow's.
Evolution is a natural part of life, and nature provides many examples. But how do we navigate the changes we are experiencing now and will eventually experience in our future professional lives? There's a new book out. It's called Undisruptible, A Mindset of Permanent Reinvention. And it's by transformation consultant, former rugby player, executive coach Aidan McCullen, formerly of this station indeed. Good to talk to you, Aidan. How are you?
Great, Bobby. Great to be with you today.
Now, firstly, tell us about the book. What does it set out to achieve, Aidan?
Well, what I hope to do, Bobby, is I read a lot. I read a book a week on innovation, and I interview the author. And what I found was a lot of the information is very academic, and it's esoteric, so it blocks off people from consuming it. So it's not very accessible. And I have a kind of a dual fascination, one with being evolution in nature and life and all the natural evolution of things. And the other is innovation. And I found correlations and metaphors that actually brought business evolution to life through stories, through nature, and indeed individuals throughout their lives.
Yeah, and it's amazing in the book. I really think it is a fascinating read because I think, as you say yourself, it's written in a kind of a non-academic way. But, you know, if you're bringing analogies with crabs, with lobsters, with Mayfly, Walt Disney, Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's all in there. You cite Jeff Bezos in the book, Aidan, and really, you know, is his legacy because he basically still drives Amazon as if it's a startup. Is that part of his success in your view?
Yeah, so you mentioned some of the animals there, some of the metaphors, and one of them is this, it's called the immortal jellyfish. And the immortal jellyfish is essentially this fish that can theoretically live forever, and they've shown in labs that it does so. And in nature, when it experiences stress, like environmental stress or starvation, it reverts to a younger version of itself. And I love that metaphor because if you take that animal and you apply it to life, we all need to do that. What this animal does is it lets go of parts of its body that no longer serves it, like its limbs, etc., and it reverts to a junior state. And I propose in the book that we need to do that ourselves as individuals, but organizations do that as well. And Amazon have a story about staying in day one. And day one is exactly what you're talking about there, where it's this entrepreneurial mindset, living in this spirit of frugality where they don't overspend VC money, et cetera, et cetera. But also Bezos himself is constantly going through iterations. And one of those iterations is, you mentioned crabs as well in the introduction. I talk about crabs. If you've ever stumbled across a crab shell on the beach, most people think it's the remains of a dead crab. What actually has happened in nature here is the crab outgrows its shell because it's got an exoskeleton. So it sheds off its old shell because it's trapped in its shell, and it goes through a period then of regrowth where it grows a new shell that's bigger. And I liken that to Bezos, because Bezos says of his leadership skills that he has done this several times throughout his career. Even now, he's no longer the CEO. He's moved into a chair position, but he's still got this oversight. And as you know, as a founder of a business, having the founder still involved is essential to bring the spirit and vision alive and keep it alive within an organization.
Is complacency the real enemy here? You know, you get to success, you build a business the hard way, you have all the, you know, the twists and turns along the way. You're never really there. But, you know, is there a fear with some leaders that maybe, you know, it's because they've had success that it's time to maybe stop taking risks, and that's ultimately their demise because they lose their fire?
That's it, exactly. So I talk about this both, if you take that and you apply it to an individual as well. In the past, because competitive advantage, once it was achieved, was easy to defend. And what I propose is that you can't win by defense alone, and take that for rugby or sport as well, that you can't win. Defense is really important, but you can't win with defense alone. You need to be continually exploring the future while exploiting the present and the past. And what most of us do is we get to the top of our career ladder and we stop learning and we start defending. And when we go into that state of mind, we actually disregard information. We start looking for information that confirms what we already know. So yeah, it's this kind of expert trap. And the same thing happens in organizations. And I propose in the book that you become defeated by victory. So it happened Nokia, happened BlackBerry. They disregarded the iPhone, for example, because they saw it as this puny thing that didn't have any future. And one of the great quotes I love that I put in the book is that there's nothing in a caterpillar that tells you it's going to be a butterfly. So you can't see the future with something that's in this embryonic new young state, like you have experienced with business, like many of our listeners have, that when you're in that entrepreneurial stage, just like the crab that sheds its shell, it needs to be nurtured and needs to be protected because it's going to be victim of predation. So you need to surround yourself with supporters and those people who will encourage you.
There's great quotes in the book, Aidan. I just want to hit you with one. The more you sweat in times of peace, the less you bleed in war. I kind of liked that one.
Yeah. That's the Spartan warrior in you, Bobby. Yeah. So what that's about is the same thing that another nice one that aligns with that is JFK said that the time to repair the roof is when the sun is shining. And I use that to say, when you build capability before you need it. So when your organization is throwing off profits, that's the time to invest in the future. Because if you wait to a moment of crisis, you're going to be in a different mindset. What happens within your body, your brain redirects bloods to your arms for fight and your feet for flight. And you literally become less intelligent and you make flawed decisions. So making these decisions and creating kind of trigger points that if this happens for our organization, if we see this happen in the environment, in the business environment, we will make these decisions is a very wise thing to do. And you do that when you're in your full cognitive capacity, when you're not in crisis mode.
Yeah. You also quite rightly recognize, Aidan, that transition from old to new is messy. Because I think that facing up to the fact that change is painful, change, you know, it often means having to take difficult decisions. But the fact that it is messy doesn't mean it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, so I say it's messy in the middle. So if you think about that point where you discard your old shell as an individual or as a business, you're jumping from one curve to the next, one stage to the next stage. The middle is, you can't even put figures on it. And when an organization goes, okay, well, tell me what this is going to be thrown off, what revenue is going to be thrown off in 18 months, and you're kind of going, listen, I don't have a clue. I can make some guesses here, but every business starts off like that. And what we forget, like you said earlier on, is once we become successful and throw off predictable and repeatable revenues, we try to apply that to the emergent business as well. So if a business is trying to reinvent itself, it tries to apply it there as well.
Yeah.
And the real story, I end with this, and you mentioned about the rupee part, is that one of the most difficult things for us is to change, but it's letting go of the persona as an individual that we've created. So maybe it's a career that we've got to the top of the ladder in. Maybe in sport, for example, you become, you know, recognized by your jersey or who you used to be, or in organization, you've thrown off a repeatable, recognizable product. And the most difficult thing is to let go of that, because that's who you're known for. And many people struggle from this at the end of careers. For example, in rugby, in NFL, for example, in American football, 80% of players go bankrupt within 2 to 3 years of retirement, despite retiring on an average salary of $2 to $3 million.
Yeah.
So they fail to let go of who they used to be, and they hold on tightly to that persona. And it's a very, very difficult thing for us to do, but we need to do it.
And I think you also reference in the book somebody who's had a heart condition, or maybe it's a heart attack, that 90% of people who have had coronary incidents go on living like they always lived. Only 10% actually change.
Yeah, so accepting change is really difficult. And this is what we fail to recognize with transformational efforts. Like, most of my work is working with organizations in transformation efforts. And you cannot change business models until you change mental models. You can't change what people do until you change how they think. And organizations are just masses of individuals led by some leaders within the organization. And this proves that even when people are faced in their personal lives with a crisis like a heart attack, and you need to make health choices here that will save you in the future should this happen again, only 9% it is that actually can make those changes required. And then we try to make them to make changes in an organization that they don't even have skin in the game in.
Yeah.
So it's no wonder 75% of transformation efforts fail.
Listen, I want to finish on rugby, if that's okay, because you said yourself that there are three types of players in the world: the talented player, the disciplined player, and the talented player with discipline. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah, well, I was one of them, which wasn't the last one. So I wasn't a very talented player. I went to the same school as you, Castleknock College. That's no slight on the school there, but it doesn't have a great reputation in rugby, but it's done really well in recent years. But long story short, most players are talented that get into the system now. In the past, you had a mix of talented and disciplined, and disciplined players can only get so far. But the goal of any coach is to make the talented player disciplined.
Yeah.
And one of the goals, I hope, with this book as well, is that it applies to anybody going through any kind of change and vision. So when somebody's chasing a vision, whether it be Arnold Schwarzenegger wanting to be the top bodybuilder and movie star in the world, or whether it be somebody trying to create the dishwasher, the very first dishwasher in the world, it doesn't matter. But there's predictable patterns to any change. Mm. And discipline is at the heart of most of them, that you have to chase that dream because you're going to meet setbacks, you're going to overcome them, and they're predictable. And once you see them, you can reframe them instead of millstones, you can reframe them as milestones.
Okay. We'll have to leave it there, Aidan. It's a fascinating book. It's called Undisruptable, A Mindset of Permanent Reinvention. Aidan McCullen, thanks very much for joining us.